Edit check-in. Nope. Okay. That's not it. I always fucking forget where to do that. Okay. Here it is, I think. No! I can never remember where to fucking edit this check-in. Oh, wait. Right here. Right here. Right here. Edit.
You're going to swear to 5K?
I am going to swear to 5K. Good ones there. All right. There we go. There we go. Ready? Ready? Ready to roll here. Ready?
All righty.
Fantastic. Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. And you're listening to episode 125 for Monday, March 9th, 2020.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about the beer we're drinking. I don't even know how to. Some fucked up psychopath serial killer who stuffs dead animals and makes them do things. It's about the best I can do.
You can't tell.
Why not? I don't know what else to say.
We'll leave it in there. God damn it. And if that wasn't crazy enough, crazy news, we'll talk about a green thumb, some expired tags, a wedding guest, celebrity divorce settlement, and sexy time.
I mean, they're going to find out soon enough, right?
Yeah, over a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's not going to take long before you get the scoop on that fucker.
No, the fucker's later, Bob.
Oh, yeah, sexy time. It's not what you think.
Oh, man. No, it's definitely not. None of it is.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I didn't fuck that up this time. I'm so nervous.
You've been really sloppy with the drops lately.
I have been.
I don't know what's
sloppy anymore.
Going on with you? I think I'm almost sure at one point last time we recorded you had a silent seizure in the middle of the episode.
Probably. It happens all the time now.
It does.
I don't know why. I'm just getting old, falling apart.
Well, we've discussed that. You know, everything's going to shit for you. But you know.
Enough about me. You got a big week. You talked about last week. You got your whole neck thing going on. And then we talked about last week about your house going for sale. And did it work? Is it gone?
Oh yeah, that's right. So we had multiple offers the first day, and we accepted an offer above asking. So. Shit.
Take it.
So, and then the next day we went out and we found our own house. So we, and it's all happening very quickly. So,
yeah.
As Robert said, we're not going to record next week. It's going to be pretty tough. The week before probably will. And then we're just going to have to, we're going to have to play March kind of by ear because there's just a lot going on. As far as, you know, getting this house, you know, getting shit packed up and
that's the worst.
All the planning. Yeah. The packing up.
No offense or anything. That sucks.
You're telling me. And all the planning and the stuff. I mean, there's just a lot going on. So, but again, we'll get through it.
Now, do you have it? I jokingly asked you the other day if this house was before you had purchased it. I had hoped that there would be a cool space for you to record. Is it? We didn't really talk about that yet since then. Is there a spot that you think this is where my studio is going to be? Because you got kind of a nice little room where you are now in the basement, and it's got your own door, and you can shut it to keep the rugrats out. But I'm hoping that this new place will have a spot.
Yeah. So, well, it's
hopefully that was a criteria you had.
Well, we were talking about it today, Kelly and I, and you know, it's a 4-bedroom, so I said great because you know, like it's a colonial, so it has. Yeah. There's the master suite, then two like medium-sized bedrooms, and then one like ridiculously small bedroom. That's how they, you know, they really squeeze that fourth bedroom. Yeah, they really, it's a small bedroom. So I'm like, well, I can make that fourth bedroom my podcast room. And she's like, no, we're turning it into a spare room in case somebody sleeps over. I'm like, who's sleeping over our house? The people that sleep over live there, and we already have bedrooms. So that got vetoed. And then I was like, well, there's the office. There's the office. There's an actual office downstairs, with the French, the glass French doors and the wainscoting. It's very nice. And so I'm like, well, we can do, we're going to get a desk for that room anyway, and I'll do it there. And she's like, yeah, but you're going to have your mic and everything out, and I don't want... So I'm thinking,
Robert... She's got to go.
We got this big, beautiful house, and I'm probably going to be in the basement.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, again. And it's completely unfinished. Like, I don't have a wall or a door. It's just an unfinished basement. But, you know, well, eventually...
You can make do with that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't have a door either. I'm in a finished part of the basement, but I'm shoved in a corner. You can believe me, it's probably going to be better because it'll be quieter. Although, like we've talked about, you and I at least, that these microphones don't pick up much. So I think being down in the basement would be all right. Just got to make sure it's lit and all that stuff. But yeah, it'll be all right.
We'll make it work.
You'll eventually build yourself a little box to sit in.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. At some point, I'll, you know, have some walls and a door put up for my podcast studio down there. You know, even better, at some point, I'd love to just finish the basement. And
yeah,
I will get my own room. Or at some point, I'm thinking maybe Kelly will just stop being so damn picky about the new house. Like once she's through like the whole like anal retentive phase of the new house, and she's okay like with maybe. Maybe like having a computer in the office, because that's weird, right? And you know, or I could actually just hide the microphone, put it somewhere else, and then bring it up. It's just a USB mic anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like a new car. It's going to be one of those things. You get the first ding in it. As soon as Harrison crashes his bike into the kitchen counter, you're going to be able to do whatever you want.
That's what I'm thinking and hoping for. So anyway. Enough about this. It's been keeping me up every night. Like last night, every night, I've woken up like at like 4 in the morning. And then,
fuck, what did we do?
I'm excited and freaking out at the same time. Like this morning, I was like, shit, the new kitchen, it needs, there's no knobs for the kitchen cabinets. Cause you know, they don't actually put knobs on these things. Apparently you got to go put the hardware on yourself. And I'm like, oh, I got to get fucking knobs. I'm not gonna put the knobs because I'll do it crooked and it'll look terrible, and you know they're expensive cabinets, so I don't want to like fuck that up. So I'm gonna pay somebody to put the knobs. I gotta find
you can do it.
I don't know, like I'm always afraid they're gonna be like slightly crooked or slightly uneven.
I'll send you a picture of the tool that I use. It's great.
Really?
Yep. And then you buy a 3D printer so you can print your own. And put it down in the basement. You can print all your own knobs.
Print my knobs. You know, I think I'm just going to buy the knobs. But
that's dumb.
If there's a device that will help me better actually do it myself, I'm okay with that.
All right, I'll send it to you. Because
you drill a hole in a cabinet, and you realize that's not where that hole's supposed to go.
Yeah. No, the tool I have will do all that for you. But was Kelly going to allow you to at least drink beer there? That's what I want to know.
Well, yeah, the beer fridge is going.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Well,
speaking of beer, why don't I be just in case, let's drink some now.
That was my segue, Rob.
I know it was your segue. Hey, I was supporting your segue.
Yeah. I was doing it right this time.
Yeah, you were right on. By the way, you were just right on cue with the drop this time.
Oh, I was starting to panic. And as you were talking, I looked to make sure that I had the right screen up because sometimes I don't do that right anymore.
Yep. And, you know, but that's all
right. Maybe you don't need the podcast studio the way I'm going. I'll fuck this up right into the ground. It won't matter.
Just do it before I move. It'll be easier. All right. So,
what do you got?
This week I have a play on one of my favorite beers that, and I've had some of the other versions of this in the past, but it's part of the Vanilla Java Porter series from Atwater. Again, it's a beer that Vanilla Java Porter was the first beer that was like a craft beer that I really got into. So it kind of sparked my interest in craft beers. And, so Atwater Brewery based out of Detroit has come out with different flavors or different takes on it. So this particular one though is a coconut vanilla Java porter, which is exactly what you would think it is. It's a vanilla Java porter with notes of coconut. Well, that's what we got. So it's 5% alcohol by volume.
Oh, boy.
5% alcohol by volume, 13 IBUs. So it's an English porter brewed with coffee, beans, and cacao nut. It's a nice dark, dark brown. And it's available April through June. Coffee notes? Check. Porter notes? Check. Coconut? Absolutely. A coffee beer that any brewer could make? Better check again. This vanilla Java porter, an easygoing dark beer with the makings of both a sweet vanilla coffee house Java and a smoky English style porter, despite looking every bit as black as a regular dark roast Joe. It goes down like it's frothy with cream and sugar with a fruity finish. Find yourself falling in love with vanilla Java Porter all over again with this new variant from our famous Porter. Sip and ah. So I've had a little bit. I'm going to drink some more, though.
Yeah, that sounds good. We were able to get the vanilla Java Porter here in Northern Virginia, so I would like to know if I can get one of those, so I might have to get up to... I'm pretty much out of beer anyway, except for the ones that I've already had, so I do need to get up to Total Wines anyway. Maybe I'll see if they had that, because that's where I got the regular vanilla Java Porter, and Melissa and I both liked it a lot.
Yeah, and this one is good. It tastes like a vanilla Java Porter, so, I mean, you definitely... It has a kind of a lactose, smooth lactose feel to it. Definitely some notes of chocolate, little bit of coconut in there. I do wish it had more coconut. I can't really taste it. Like, I taste a little bit on the finish, but like I was looking for just maybe a little bit more of a coconut flavor. Yeah. So if they had upped the dial with the coconut a little bit more, it would have been exquisite. I believe the original vanilla Java Porter, I rated a 5 on Untappd. This one I rated a 4.25 because it's a good beer. It just falls maybe just a little bit short. I can taste the coconut, but it's kind of a little, too late type of thing. Yeah. And I wish there was a little bit more coconut in there so I could really, you know, drink this next to a regular vanilla Java Porter and really, really taste the difference there. But nonetheless, it's a solid brew. It's a good beer. And I've had Atwater several times on the show. Starting with actually episode 4, Inconvenient Pooping, it was the
first one
time that we had recorded beer and drank beer on the show, and I had the original Vanilla Java Porter that show. Episode 11, Stupid Eli Face, I had a Lip Lock Cherry Stout. Episode 24, Rob Likes Sausages, I had a... Decadent Chocolate. I had 2 Decadent Chocolate Ales. Apparently, I was feeling thirsty that night. Yeah. Episode 64, Poop Napkins. I had the Bavarian Cream Vanilla Java Porter. Delicious. Episode 68, Would You Wather? I had a Blueberry Cobbler Ale. Episode 88, Ribbed Balloons. I had a Hazelnut Vanilla Java Porter. And that's it. And then episode 125, we're going to throw the Coconut Vanilla Java Porter. Again, good beer. Wish there was more coconut, but still worthy of spending a couple bucks on it and enjoying it.
Huh, that sounds good. I'll check it out. I'm going to go to our friends at Star Hill, which if you followed the show, you know, Star Hill is a Northern Virginia brewery. And I guess they're a little bit south, I guess, of what is considered Northern Virginia, but the Charlottesville area, home of our friend Thomas Jefferson. And I've got the Star Hill Looking Glass IPA. It's a seasonal IPA, and I don't quite know why. Maybe it's spring type thing. I don't know. The website doesn't really tell you anything. Just says 6.5% alcohol by volume. Very doesn't insightful. Even tell the. I know. It doesn't tell you the IBUs. But the bottle says loaded with notes of juicy pineapple, mango, and passion fruit. This IPA packs big hop aroma and flavor with minimal bitterness. So the IBUs aren't on there, so I guess it is kind of low. But I'm going to taste it and tell you what I think. I do smell the... Just putting it up to my nose to taste it as I was talking, I smell the fruit right away. So hopefully the flavor of that will actually come across as well. It's almost like a juice.
You smell like a juice.
It's good. It does taste... It is very fruity without being sweet. If that makes much sense. You do get the pineapple sure. in there. Not quite sure if there's a whole lot of the mango and passion fruit in there. It does have, again, the pineapple is fairly strong. without being overly sweet. And do get a bit of sweetness on the finish, though, so it's not, again, it's not right up front where you feel like you're drinking a dessert beer. I like it. I rated it a 3.75, so it's not quite up there with the best of the best, but it is solid, and if you have a chance to try some, I would recommend it, and you will not be disappointed.
Nice.
Yeah. And the Star Hill, I had that up. So starting with episode 30, Four-Legged Undies, I had the Star Hill Resonate Imperial Red IPA. Episode 48, Magic Unicorn Formula, I had the Little Red Rue Star Coffee Cream Stout. Episode 111, I had the Last Leaf Maple Brown Ale. And that's it so far. But I have had a bunch of the Star Hill, and we're trying to get down to that brewery at some point just to visit them in person, but maybe this summer.
Nice.
Yep. Like it a lot.
Good ones. I mean, they seem like they have a good brew, and you always seem to enjoy the beer you get from them. So that's ultimately what's most important here.
That is important.
Mm-hmm. So what's this link?
All right. So a couple weeks ago, I don't remember exactly which episode it was. We talked about an angry bird. I'm sure you remember.
Oh, Pebbles. Hello, Pebbles.
Yeah, he was angry.
He was very angry.
I think Orville may at one point have been a friend of Pebbles. So if you want to bring up the link now, and I'll play the audio for it as you watch it.
All right.
You just tell me when you're ready to go, and I'll sync up the video here.
All right. Yeah, hold on one second. Oop. All right. 3, 2, one, go.
One day, Orville got killed by a car. Around the corner.
Oh,
here.
No.
But I immediately knew that as soon as we had his body, that I was going to do something.
He got hit by a car.
Turn him into a drone.
He
I was
going
to make a point out of his untimely death.
Oh, shit. He had him taxidermied into a Orville fucking Copter. Drone.
There's the dog
with a local engineer called Arian.
What the
had created
actual?
The world's first remote-controlled flying dead cat.
Every now and then, people get shocked.
That's fucking weird.
But that's just occasionally.
So,
what the fuck?
His pussycat had four propellers placed into its paws. And I wanted to know what kind of man.
So you know a drone, it's got the four points on it. So he's basically got his legs are out spread out.
He's spread out like he's a fucking rug.
It's clear that dead creatures had long been.
Yeah, so he's made it into the drone.
Somebody did it to their
a
hamster.
In nature and animals and everything that lives out there. Death is a natural part of it.
Dude, this guy's a fucking
serial
killer.
We're made of stuff, and if you die, you end up as stuff, and you can do things to that stuff and to keep it around.
Oh, he's got a rooster in his fridge. Fucking weirdo.
Oh, mother's milk. I wanted to make a cheese out of that.
Breast milk?
Yeah.
As in your partner's.
You wanted to make cheese out of breast milk?
Yeah,
dude, this guy's fucked up.
When one of my grandmas died, that I stood there at the bed and I saw the body of my grandma, the woman that we all
don't
loved
disrespect
as kids.
I don't want to know.
But I couldn't resist prodding her.
Turned into
her. If she turned into a drone, I'm going to throw up.
When you're not here anymore.
She's a moped.
Stiff and cold. And I wanted to know.
Was it difficult?
Look at the cat. The cat's got to be like, shit. Get me the fuck out of here.
Of a cat,
this guy's
going to
turn me into
after
a fucking drone.
Dead, it's not a cat anymore. It's just carbon.
There's probably human blood in that mug of coffee or espresso that he's holding.
Probably.
Bart invited me into his shed, where it became clear that his cat was not the first animal he'd been trying to make fly.
I don't want to know.
And certainly.
Oh, he tried it with a...
ostrich.
It's an ostrich.
With an ostrich. He did it with an ostrich.
The head comes off so you can snap it on.
In the Netherlands.
Well, you gotta
Bart
be able to
eventually
hold it
got his hands on one
fit it in
that
the
had
car,
died
so you gotta,
during the cold winter months.
Fuck.
It's got a 50 kilo lift and it's 12,000 watts.
What is happening.
I was witnessing the world's most famous flightless bird taking to the skies.
It's ironic, too, that it's an ostrich.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be an inventor.
That can't fly.
I'm making things fly that usually can't.
He's got a, he gets a kicker. It's only a,
just to stand outside.
It's only a matter of time until he starts doing this shit with dead humans.
They laugh and they make pictures and they talk about it for 2 days afterwards.
What
a thing to do.
Fuck.
And the funny thing, I saw that earlier and I just had laughed.
This guy's probably making a skin suit somewhere.
We're going to be gone for a week or so with various things that are coming up. I figured we gotta go out with a bang with that one. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Well,
I hadn't watched the whole thing. I watched the very beginning, and I wanted to be surprised. And I didn't know about the ostrich and everything else.
Oh, you didn't know it was going to get even better.
No.
Oh boy. No. Only that
that's
was a,
good though.
Yeah, the cat was only the tip of the iceberg with that story.
I would have been okay with just a cat. And he had the little GoPros or something on it, so you could see the face of it as it was flying. And then the ostrich had a GoPro on his back, so you could see the big long neck out.
That guy's got to bang dead animals, right? I mean, there's no denying that he has sex with dead animals. Oh, boy. Hey, by the way, I drank my coconut vanilla Java Porter all the way.
Already?
Yeah.
You were that disturbed by that video. You drank it.
I that made me drink faster. I said, shit, I need more alcohol so I can get through this. What I'm having is a morning nightcap from Arcadia Ales. Coffee porter. Brewed with Big B Coffee. I had this at some point in the history of the Two Bobs.
Some point.
I don't remember when. It's a while ago.
At some point. Well, that's enough about Orville. I guess we'll jump on into crazy news. Let's
do it. Good job on the drop.
Like that video.
You did it. You did the drop.
I don't think Melissa would like it.
Would like what?
That video.
Well, that's all right. When I get this new house, I feel like if we get a spare bedroom, you and Melissa should come sleep in it sometime.
In the smallest bedroom you have? You'll share that with us?
Yeah,
I don't have to move all your mic stand and shit, do I?
Put a twin size.
Not going to fit me.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, shit. But you know what? You do have a new house, Bob, Rob. You're going to want to, your new house, you're going to want to decorate it with all sorts of things. And I have a feeling this next one might be something that can happen to you.
All right. Where is this?
Good question. California.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's going to that'll bring it full circle.
Yeah, so this first story is going to take us to California, where a woman waters the perfect plant for 2 years before realizing it's fake. What a sucker. Kylie Wilkes' dream of being a nurturing plant parent died on the vine when she realized a succulent she'd been tenderly tending for 2 years was a fake. She recounted her botanical boo-boo Friday in a viral Facebook post. I feel like these last 2 years have been a lie, Wilkes 24 wrote. The stay-at-home mom from California admits she was extremely proud of her beautiful succulent, which lived for 2 years on her kitchen windowsill. She was such a dedicated taker that if someone else tried to water my succulent, I would get so defensive. However, when she tried to transplant it into the cutest vase,
right,
she made a disturbing discovery. Her perfect plant was phony.
It needed an upgrade.
I pulled it from the container, and it's sitting on styrofoam with sand glued to the top. Kylie wrote, tried my hardest to keep it looking its best, and it's completely plastic. Her faux plant rant went viral on Facebook, racking up almost 9,000 reactions since Friday, as well as a flurry of comments. It's like when you're in college or high school and they give you that fake baby to carry around for months to teach you what it's like to be a mom, quipped one Facebook.
You are fake news.
Exactly. If you loved your plant so much, what's it matter if it's fake? I wrote another. Well, I mean, just cut the styrofoam and fit in your new pot and keep the plant you love. keep watering it too. Who gives a fuck? The world screen thumb gone wrong moment was also shared to an Australian indoor botany page, The Mirror reports, where other plant enthusiasts shared similar tales of deep-rooted deception. My friend at work always kills the plants because she doesn't water them, so I put a fake one in the cafe, posted one horticultural hornswoggler.
Oh.
Yeah. She watered it for a month before I told her it was fake. However, some social media watchdogs were less sympathetic. How do you have a plant, in quotes, for 2 years, take meticulous care of it the entire time, and not notice that it hasn't grown a millimeter or changed color at all? Pondered one Facebook pundit on Wilkes' post. That's hilarious. She's a dumbass. Yeah.
The comments on the article, or I guess on her post, are pretty good too. But there's a lot of people that evidently did the same thing. So I did the exact same thing. For 1 year, I watered a fake succulent plant. One day, my husband saw me and asked how long I'd been watering it. He then broke the news to me. I'm able to laugh at myself. So her husband knew, and she didn't. She just kept watering it, taking care of it. And one of them, I think it might have been this one in some of the comments, was saying that, yeah, I basically like washed the leaves, and I took good care of it. I was just so proud of it, only to find out that it was fake. So pretty funny.
I glued the leaves back on when they fell off. I've done dumb things, but never confused a plastic plant for a real one for a period of years too. Like, there's been times when I've been
that's
like
a long time.
When I've seen an indoor plant and be like, wow, is that real or fake? But you walk up to it, you look at it, you touch it, you're like, oh yeah, that's fake, or oh yeah, that's real. Obviously it's real.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Anyway, where's our next story, Brian?
Well, those succulents are small. I thought I had one. I have one around here, but I knew it was fake when I got it. It's basically sitting in rocks, but you have to wonder where all the water went to. It's not, I mean, I guess maybe would it just soak up in the styrofoam, or
I guess
how much was she watering it that it, and it just never, I don't know, whatever.
Well, apparently succulents don't need that much water, especially fake ones.
Plastic. Yeah. Oh man. Well, we're going to go to Louisiana, where a Louisiana driver with a license plate that expired in 1997 told police, I've been busy lately and I just totally forgot. That's a good one. Slidell, Louisiana. A Louisiana driver recently pulled over must have been busy a few decades. So busy they forgot to renew their license plates for more than 20 years. We can't make this stuff up, the department captioned a photo of the expired plate. At least give us a good challenge. Tag expired in 1997. The driver reportedly told police, sorry, officer, I've been busy lately and I totally forgot to renew my vehicle registration. I'll take care of it as soon as I get home.
Oh, that's
and one
hilarious.
Thing I want to know, did they let him off with a warning, or did he actually get a real ticket for it? I figured they probably better give him a ticket. Maybe he'll pay that, or maybe that'll be another 20 years too.
Now, what's funny to me though is I'm looking at the picture.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Is that the police cruiser's car? It's hard to say, but like it's sitting up inside, like on somebody's lap and on a steering wheel. And there's like steering wheel controls where you can tell it's not that old of a car.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it works in Louisiana, but in Michigan, if you have an expired tab, they won't let you transfer the plate to a new car.
Yeah. Well, yeah, who knows? You might have just been moving it around from one to the other. And that car that it was originally on is probably not even driving anymore.
I'm not likely.
Yeah. They might have confiscated the plate.
You get busy, though. You get distracted. How you drove around with an expired tab. I feel like in Michigan, after a week, they'd pull your ass over after they realized that you had an expired tab. But anyway. Yeah.
Oh, like, they've been driving around the bayou somewhere. Probably didn't even get noticed.
Exactly.
It's one of those little boats that ride around the swamp. Oh, shit.
Our next story is going to take us to Ohio, where a brother crashes his sister's Beechwood wedding with none other than a llama. Mendel Weinstock, it appears, delivers more than just a pizza.
Ooh.
Weinstock
is want pizza.
Would be great. Weinstock is, it would be a good follow-up to my beef stroganoff dinner. Weinstock is a 19-year-old junior at the University of Akron studying financial planning and works at Papa John's Pizza. Do you have Papa John's pizza down there?
We do.
That's good.
I like the garlic sauce. That's the only reason I eat it.
The garlic sauce is good. Do you have Papa Romano's?
No.
They have good garlic sauce, garlic cheese sauce, whatever. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, Weinstock was on a road trip with his older sister, Riva, when she began talking about her wedding. She was 17 and not even dating anyone at the time, and so it kind of was irking me a little bit, he recalled. So I told her, I'm not going to come out to the wedding just to get a reaction. Yeah, that's what I meant. Just to get it. So he told her, I'm not going to come out to the wedding just to get a reaction out of her because I was fed up with the hearing about it. When she was 17 and not even dating anyone at the time, she was 17 and not even dating anyone at the time. So it kind of was irking me a little bit, he recalled. So I told her, I'm not going to come out to the wedding just to get a reaction out of her because I was fed up with hearing about it. And she freaked out. So,
So she was basically talking about the wedding so much. He said it didn't matter
when she was 17. He goes, "I'm not going just to piss her off.
I'm not going to go," and that made her upset. Even though she wasn't even dating yet, she was that upset.
That's what I just said. So just to keep it going, the most random thing that could pop into my head, I said, "I'm going to bring a llama to the wedding," and of course she freaks out even more. So eventually, she gets so upset that she told me that the llama is invited to the wedding. Weinstock took that invitation to heart. Ever since she said those words, I promised her and nagged her about it that I'm going to do it. He said, on March 1st, his sister's wedding day, Weinstock delivered on his promise. At a cost of $450, he delivered a llama to the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel Cleveland East in Beechwood ahead of the arrival of guests. Dressed to the nines in a bow tie and tuxedo with a yarmulke.
That's how you spell it.
Oh, yeah, there's a yarmulke. Thank you. Oh, this is the Cleveland Jewish News, too, I noticed.
A yarmulke? What? That's funny. It is kind of spelled weird, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Having known enough of the Jewish persuasion...
Knew about the yarmulke.
With the yarmulke. I'm like, what the fuck is with the yarmulke to cap off his appearance. The llama was an immediate sensation, not just with the guests who snapped photos. The photo of the three, brother, sister, and beast went viral on Reddit with the caption, 5 years ago, I promised my sister I would bring a llama to her wedding. Before the reception was over, the number of upvotes on Reddit was 100,000. By March 3rd, the number topped 150,000. Since then, Weinstock has been inundated by media. Riva Eisenberg, said she was not surprised by the appearance of the creature, given that her brother has reminded her of his promise frequently since he first made it. I knew it was coming, she said, adding that she set ground rules. I will not spend more than 10 seconds with the llama. Riva and Avi Eisenberg met at a 2018 wedding at Green Road Synagogue in Beechwood. A shared sense of humor, he said, was the spark. She said, there's still more, don't worry. This is a long article. She said she looked her up the following morning. I'm really struggling with this. On Facebook, after she told him, if you remember this conversation, find me tomorrow. He did, and the two began dating long distance. In 2019, he moved to Cleveland, and the rest is history. The two live in South Euclid and attend Heights Jewish Center Synagogue in University Heights, where she celebrated her bat mitzvah. Avi Eisenberg said, while his bride dislikes llamas, he has had a long-standing dislike of zoos. Who doesn't like zoos? Shocky, it turned out, is used to wearing costumes. So that's good. So fitting the costume custom made tux, turned out to be simple for the animal's handlers. And if there's anything else you want to know about the story, go ahead and go and click the fucking link and read about it in the Jewish News. All right. What's next? I couldn't read any more of that story.
Well, the next one,
I gotta move on.
I can only guess is gonna take us to Florida. You know William Shatner, right, Rob?
I do.
Well, it turns out that celebrities such as William Shatner have when they get divorced, they have sometimes these weird things that get written into their settlements. But this story takes us to page 6.
True.
Where it tells us William Shatner gets horse semen in a divorce settlement.
Oh, perfect.
Yep, it's time to pony up, Rob. William Shatner got horse semen as part of his divorce settlement from ex-wife Elizabeth Shatner, people reported. The 88-year-old actor settled his divorce from Elizabeth on Tuesday and reached an agreement on how their assets would be divided. The Star Trek star will walk away with two of their horses, Renaissance Man's Medici and Powder River Shirley, and two dogs, Macchiato and Double Espresso, as well as all horse semen and equipment used for horse breeding, according to court documents.
Thank God he's getting all the horse semen.
Yep. Yep, we got big jars of it, Rob. Elizabeth, a horse trainer, will get horses Bell, Reeves, So Photogenic, and Pebbles. Oh, we know Pebbles. And is also granted visitation.
It's Pebbles.
Visitation rights with notice for the other horses. So she's allowed to go over and see the horses, but she has to call ahead.
She can visit the semen too.
Right. Right.
Obviously.
You better weigh that stuff before she leaves.
Goes without saying.
As for the real estate, William would take their Studio City house and Three Rivers Ranch in California, as Elizabeth will take their homes in Malibu Cove and Versailles, Kentucky. She can also visit the ranch to occasionally harvest fruit. Is that what they call it these days? And visit the resting place of her first husband and horses who have passed, according to the website. They had no children together, thank God, because all the horse semen is there in a jar.
It's true.
Filings show that the pair had a prenup, so neither will be receiving spousal support. His estimated net worth is over $100 million.
Man,
but you would think it would be more with all the shit that he's done. $100 million seems like he's been shafted somehow.
That's a lot of shitty acting for $100 million, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
I feel like for an actor who, my assumption is that he's never been like a top billed actor. Like,
yeah.
Nobody has ever, aside from Star Trek, nobody's ever been like, you're not going to believe this, guys. We fucking got Shatner. We got Shatner signed on. This is going to be the best movie. We're going to win Golden Globes and Emmys and all the other shit. It's going to be awesome. Academy Awards. Here it comes.
Well, shit. And I was going to say, an actor of his caliber, but he's not really a caliber, but yet he is, I think, by name and, you know, like recognizing him.
Well, you know who he is. There's recognition, but you don't recognize him as like the best actor in the world, though. That's the thing.
Right.
You know, you're only as good. But then again, it's all money. If you draw a crowd, it doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, shit. Well, last story is World News Daily Report, and that's yours.
Oh, good. So finally something real. All the other shit before that was fake.
Something interesting here.
So this takes us to New Mexico, where the FBI, an FBI sting, shuts down a brothel operating a funeral home. It's 22 arrests. 22. Federal prosecutors have indicted 22 people on sex trafficking charges last week after an FBI sting identified a funeral home running as a brothel operating in Las Cruces, New Mexico. After a year-long investigation, federal officials built a case against a sex trafficking ring where clients paid to perform sex acts on the dead before being prepared for burial or cremation. Attorney Camilla Bolivar, representing the Perry Funeral Home, claims that her client is operating a perfectly legal business that offers beneficial services to the Las Cruces community. The law is very clear. Necrophilia or sexual penetration of a corpse. Why are we reading this? Is perfectly legal activity within the state of New Mexico. Attorney Camilla Bolivar told reporters.
It's fine.
We're not hurting anyone. Except the dead people's loved ones.
You can make them into a drone, Rob, if you're not willing to do that.
We are offering the mourning an opportunity to spend quality time with the departed before their bodies are laid to rest. Perry Funeral Home manager Samuel Ortega told reporters. Something tells me Samuel takes some liberties as well. One former client of the brothel told reporters under the guise of anonymity that he'd rather have sexual intercourse with deceased.
You want to pick a different one?
With deceased. No, this is great. With deceased. No, we're this is it.
We've already committed.
This is a story. He'd rather have sexual intercourse with deceased people because it didn't feel like cheating. You know,
it's a tauntaun.
I never had the conversation with Kelly that if you fuck something that doesn't have a pulse,
that's right.
If it's cheating or not, my wife would kill me if I had sex with a prostitute, but she's okay,
especially if he was hotter than she
with
was.
This. Says technically it's not really cheating. He admitted candidly. She's okay with him fucking corpses. An Albuquerque morgue employee was arrested last year after publishing selfies of himself and fully explicit sexual acts with corpses on his Instagram account, but was later released after prosecutors were forced to admit the man had not committed any crime under current Mexico laws. I wonder if that's true. Let's see here. New... Mexico necro.
Oh Jesus! You can't Google. I guess you can Google that because you'll be moving. It won't matter. By the time they come to look for you, you'll be gone.
All right. Let's see. New Mexico prohibited consensual sexual activity laws. Let's see here. Necrophilia is legal in these states.
Uh oh.
Let's.
New Mexico there?
I'm getting down to the bottom of this, Robert.
It shouldn't take that long to go through all the states legal Rob, to be able to find it.
Well, I got it.
If there's right. more than a handful of states in there, something's wrong.
All right. According to Gawker's Adam Weinstein and his, I don't know if it is any relation to Harvey. Hopefully not. it's very helpful, Matt. Here it is. You may not have anal or oral sex of any sort.
Oh.
Even if you are in a good old-fashioned hetero marriage, but you may engage in sexual intercourse with a corpse in Louisiana, in North Carolina. Let's see here. Louisiana recently upheld its ban on sodomy, though, even though the laws ruled it to be unconstitutional. Oh, wait. Okay, so there's four states where you can have sex with a dead body, but you cannot give or receive a blowjob. From the said corpses,
because that's wrong.
Yeah, let's see. Louisiana recently up. Oh wait. In Kansas and Kentucky, straight people can have oral sex as much as they please, but gay and lesbian couples may not. Well, let's see here. Godless heathens in states like New Mexico, Nebraska, and Vermont are cool with just about everything. These states allow necrophilia and oral sex between whomever. So next time you feel like doing whatever you want with a cadaver, start here. All right.
Boy, we really did choose a good way to take a week off.
Yeah. So
between the cat drone and now this.
All right. Well, so we'll see you in Nebraska, I guess.
So I have to come back to this here. You mentioned something, and it's something we, in all of our years of doing this and the time we've spent talking about just random dumb shit, the next to last sentence, I'm getting ready to burp here. I can't find it. My wife would kill me if I had sex with a prostitute, but she's okay with this since technically it's not really cheating. Do you guys, you and Kelly, have one of those lists that say, you know, if this person happened to
Scarlett Johansson
come on what? To me, the whatever the list is, I don't know what you call it. One of those like okay lists, like if it's this person that's on this list that it would be okay.
We've had the conversation, like joke, obviously jokingly had the conversation, right?
No official printed list.
Yeah, but the rule is like it has to be a famous person who is known nationally. So you can't be like, hey,
not a hot chick at work. Yeah, doesn't work there anymore.
It doesn't work there anymore, and. But like you can't be like, yeah, you know, Susie, if she ever breaks up with her husband and wants to fuck me, like she's on my list, so can't get mad. Like it doesn't work that way. But you know, like Scarlett Johansson was on mine.
Yeah, right.
sure the guy from Outlander, that fucker, will be on Kelly's.
I know. That's what made me. That's the first thing that I thought of, because we don't have that list, and I don't think we've really. I mean, we know it'll never happen, so we haven't really talked about it. I guess we probably could, just because who cares? But I figured he would be at the top of her list, and there probably would be nobody else. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Well,
that might be a lie.
For me, Emilia Clarke, she's got to be dressed as Daenerys, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to bang Emilia Clarke. I want to bang the Mother of Dragons. That's the difference.
Right. Yeah, that's a whole different category.
So I guess that's probably
that's way better than William Shatner.
Never going to happen. Kelly probably bang William Shatner. I don't know.
She might.
Maybe he's on her list. I haven't asked her if she finds him attractive or not.
Huh. Well, that might be something for while you guys are off a little bit. We can have that as part of our text discussion over the next week or so and see what it is.
Yeah, as we're packing boxes, we can, you know, talk about it. It'll be good.
Well, I'm here doing nothing. You guys are packing.
I'm super nervous because tomorrow, so this is probably why I'm going to be up at 3 in the morning tonight, not being able to sleep. Tomorrow morning is our buyer's home inspection. I'm just like, I hope they don't find anything.
Well, good luck. What time are they coming? Early?
12, but we're going. So Kelly's birthday was yesterday.
Right.
So we're going to brunch at my in-law's house.
Ooh, nice.
So we'll be over there, which is great because we can't be home for the inspection anyway.
Yeah.
And so they're going to enjoy brunch and mimosas and stuff like that. And I'm just going to sit in the corner and just shake until I hear that just the shiver until in the fetal position until I hear the official word that the
everything's clear.
Yeah, that everything came back all right.
I would be dealing with the mimosas. That's probably the only way that I would be able to survive it if my heart.
Oh, true.
You know, my blood pressure pill didn't work enough. Having a whole bunch of goodness. Sorry. Don't let them see that all over the floor. Having a bunch of mimosas is probably the only way I'd get through it. Oh, shit. Well, good luck.
Hey.
Let me know how it goes. Hey, and I guess we'll be back in about two. So the 9th and then 2 weeks would be 14, 23rd. But that's getting kind of close to moving time. So we'll play it by ear.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
We'll be back at some point.
See ya. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.